Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties. Based on the solid principles of love, faith and hope is expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophytes, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about all things, about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at life through some very ancient lenses polished up for today. We call it Armodoxy, and we invite you to look through the lenses of Armodoxy as we take the next step. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, brought to you, well, as the lady said, the cool folks. If you're ready, let's take the next step. So good to have you with us. I know. Okay. Ken, you're getting way ahead of the game. You know, he gets on Facebook. What was it? A couple of weeks ago, you get on Facebook, and now you're like calling the shots over here. Okay. Has the runner stopped running? Okay, very good. Well, welcome. Welcome to the next step. And whether you're running, whether you're walking, you're crawling, we invite you to this very special next step. And before we look through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy at life, hey, how about a glimpse out there through one of the most gigantic telescopes there are? And this just came in that NASA, I'm going to read to you right off of a NASA press release about the discovery of El Gordo. In Spanish, that means the big or the fat one. Yes, they have discovered, like, just this incredible, incredible nebula out there that is containing, they're just clusters of galaxies. And, well, why is this important to us? Because, well, especially at the beginning of the year, we are so consumed and overcome by topics of Christmas that we forget that the real Christmas message is about Christ being from the beginning of all eternity. It is not only a story about a babe in the manger, his revelation to us as humans, but we are talking about the revelation that comes to us from the beginning of time. As St. Gregory the Illuminator says so beautifully, and we repeat it every Sunday in the Holy Divine Liturgy, as for us, we will glorify that which was from the beginning of time. Not just 2,000 years ago, but from the beginning of all eternity. St. John the Evangelist, in his gospel, he recounts the Christmas story as, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, way out there. Well, listen to this. This is from a NASA press release. It says, take the number 2, put 15 zeros behind it. That is 2 quadrillion. They have discovered a cluster of galaxies that are about the 2. Well, let me read this. It says, the discovery of the largest cluster of galaxies seen yet in the early universe, a giant that astronomers have dubbed El Gordo, has been announced at the annual meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Austin, Texas. Yeah, I know, these big ones come from Austin, don't they? And just how big is El Gordo thought to be? It has mass about 2 quadrillion times that of the Sun, making it the most massive known cluster in the distant universe. El Gordo is about 7 billion light years from us. Scientists hope that its discovery will help shed some light, as Space.com says, on dark energy or dark matter. And as the BBC says, it's possible El Gordo will help us figure out how galaxy clusters form, grow, and collide with one another. NASA adds that galaxy clusters, the largest objects in the universe that are held together by gravity, form through the merger of smaller groups or subclusters of galaxies. Because the formation process depends on the amount of dark matter and dark energy in the universe, clusters can be used to study these mysterious phenomena. One other note, scientists say El Gordo is still growing. Look at that. They have found this cluster of galaxies. Okay, now you got to think about, we are just a small Earth, a small planet inside of a solar system that revolves around a galaxy that is going around a universe. And this one galaxy, the Milky Way that we are in, is one of many billions. And they have just discovered a new cluster of them. How vast is the universe? How great is that universe? And you know what, this is one of my favorite topics, because, you know, when we talk about religion, when we talk about faith, it's always amazing to me how people can be so self-absorbed that they would presume to talk in the name of God and say that, you know, this is what God is. I mean, God is vast, is beyond all kind of, well, hey, if we believe that we are creations of God, how can you possibly, if you can define God, then it's no longer God, right? What? Say that again? If you can define God, it's no longer God. I mean, how could we, with our limited abilities, I mean, you got to say that we are limited. We are basically creations, right? And we are limited. We are not infinite. Yes, you may have a glimpse of the infinite. We are given opportunities throughout life to glance at the wonders out there. But it's so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger than us. And I think when stories like this come out, it's a nice reminder that, hey, you know, God's wonders are all out there. And of course, a few thousand years ago, this was said in the book of Sirach, which of course, well, let's say the Protestant church has decided that, well, we don't need this book. We'll just take it out. But of course, is part of our canon, the Armenian Orthodox Church. As well as all the Orthodox, the Roman Catholic Church, we have this in our canon. But of course, the Protestants refer to this as apocryphal. In other words, one of the hidden books, not necessary, not necessary. Anyway, but I'm just throwing that out there, okay? Anyway, from the book of Sirach, chapter 43. Listen to this. It says, "How beautiful is the bright, clear sky above us. What a glorious sight it is. The sun, when it appears, proclaims as it rises how marvelous a thing it is, made by the Most High. At noon it dries up the land. No one can stand its blazing heat. The setting sun sets fire to the hilltops like a metal furnace glowing from the heat. It sends out fiery rays, blinding the eyes from its brightness. The Lord who made it is great. It speeds on its way at his command. There is also the moon, marking the passing of time, an eternal sign of the changing season. The moon determines the holy days. Its light grows full and then grows dim. The month is named after the moon, marvelous to watch as it grows fuller each night, a signal light for the heavenly armies, shining out in the dome of the sky. The shining stars make the night sky lovely, brilliant ornaments in the Lord's high heavens. They stay in the places assigned to them by the Holy One and never relax their dutiful watch." I'm reading something from just a few thousand years ago. nothing when you think about the times we're talking about, 7 billion light years. And yet, here is somebody who is recognizing the grandeur of God. Look at the rainbow and praise its creator. How magnificent, how radiant its beauty. Like a bow bent in the hands of the Most High, it spans the horizon in a circle of glory. And so the writer, Sirach, he concludes this chapter by saying, we could say much more and never finish. But it all means this, the Lord is everything. How can we find the power to praise Him? He is greater than all His creation. The Lord is awesome in His greatness. His power is overwhelming. Though you do your best to praise Him, He is greater than you can ever express. Though you honor Him tirelessly and with all your strength, you still cannot praise Him enough. No one has seen Him. No one can describe Him. No one can praise Him as He deserves. Mysteries greater than these are still unknown. We know only a fraction of His works. The Lord made the universe and then gave wisdom to devout people. Beautiful, isn't it? And then to think about it, that God reveals Himself. He gives us an opportunity to know Him at the level that we need to know Him. Not at that cosmic level. And there is that cosmic level, and certainly you're welcome to go look at Him, but what do we need? What is essential? What is the need that we have to get to know Him in His true form, which is love? And so He gives us Jesus Christ, who becomes the example for all of us of what love is all about, how to love completely, totally, to sacrifice, to give ourselves. Isn't that beautiful? That we have a creator who creates this beautiful universe. And in it, something that in the year 2012, here we are, small man with looking through a telescope, discover that is something that is 7 billion light years away from us. That is 2 quadrillion times the size of our known sun. And it houses not only a few suns, billions and billions of suns, and houses billions of galaxies in there. And we're sitting here and we're looking at it. Your jaw has to drop. You have to drop. Your heart has to drop. We are in awe. Yeah, what happens when you drop your jaw? You go, ah. It's exactly the sound, isn't it? Right? And so we come up with the word awesome, awesome. In some of the ancient translations that you find, translation from Armenian to English, they use the word awful. And awful usually has a negative connotation. But think about it. It just means full of awe. Full of awe. In Armenian, it's the translation of ahavor, full of awe. Ahavod, exactly the same word. Sometimes in Armenian we use the word hiyanali. It's like taking your breath away. It's so intense, so incredible. And that's our description of the one who brings this all together, who gives us life, who gives us the miracle that we see through that telescope 7 billion years, light years out there. And we look through the lens of Armenian orthodoxy, armodoxy, and you find that that life is from the beginning of all time, and it's been given to you. It's been given to each of us as a gift from our Creator to take, to love, to share. Exactly the intention that the Creator has for us, right? Because He shared it. He shared that life. And now we have this opportunity to get out there and share it. Exploit it. Exploit it any way you want, where you're not abusing it, but using it. Using it for that goodness, for that love out there. That's what it's all about. And that's how we start off today's podcast. We've got a great one for you today. I hope you're going to enjoy it. We're going to go in a few different directions today. As you know, here in the United States, this weekend we celebrate the memory of the great late Dr. Martin Luther King. I say late because he was slain, because of his goodness. He was slain tragically at an early age, but nonetheless, though his body left, his spirit is with us all the time. The late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it happens to be his weekend. We're going to be, of course, talking about him. As you know, part of he is a cornerstone of the Inner Shoes mission, because in all things that we do, we like to point out people who have taken the gospel and really used it, not abused it, and have looked and seen how love can conquer even evil. Yeah. That's it, right? Love can conquer. I mean, if you're going to believe the Christian message, you've got to believe it all the way. And Dr. King did that. He taught us that we've got to believe it. Jesus says, love your enemies. Okay, you can say, okay, well, Jesus is good, but except for that thing. No, he didn't. He said, no, there must be a reason why the living God is telling us, love your enemies. Because in there is a power. Okay? He pointed us in that direction. He said, hey, look, it is possible to overcome evil, hatred, with the acts of love and kindness. So we're going to be talking about that, and we do it more in the retreat setting, but of course we'll give some time on our podcast today, as well as some other topics that have surfaced in the last few days that I want to share with you. I'm going to kick it off with the song of the day. I've picked out a gospel hymn. Yes, this is a genre of music here in the United States. It is called gospel, and it is a song called You Must Be Born Again, because actually this weekend the Armenian Church celebrates that famous passage, You Must Be Born Again. In every Armenian church that you go to, Sunday's lectionary reading will be that passage that comes out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where it is commended of us to be born again. And it also happens to be the feast day of St. John the Forerunner, Supovanes Garaben. Lots of stuff coming up. Let's kick it off. Here is You Must Be Born Again. It is off of an album called Anointed Women of the Gospel.
Long ago, I didn't know nothing about Jesus and his love. I had heard about it, but I had never felt it. This manner that comes from above. When this life of sin, I could no longer stand. I asked my mother, how could I get to know the man? She said, you must be. Don't you see? You got to be.
Born Again is the name of that song, and that is Dorothy Love Coates and the Original Gospel Harmonites. My dad used to play in a group called the Harmonites. I think it was a little bit different than this, but isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to listen to some good gospel music? I mean, to me, in many ways, I think this is a dimension of the church that tragically we have lost. I mean, when you think about how beautiful God's love is, when you think about how overwhelming it is to imagine that the creator of the universe has picked us out to share in that love, to share in that joy. What is our reaction to that? Should it be quiet? Should it be something reserved? Or should it be really out there and really heralding, really a form of witnessing to the love of God? And I think gospel music in many respects is that witness that is, well, tragically missing out of the ancient churches. But I think it's coming back. If you listen to many of the renderings of Armenian Orthodox hymns, as well as some of the, like in the Catholic tradition, many different groups coming together and really saying that there are other ways of expression. And we shouldn't be scared of this. You know, a lot of times when you look at the Divine Liturgy, and you have many proponents of keeping the Divine Liturgy in the same way, I am one of those proponents. I believe that the Divine Liturgy is angelic. And once you have that, the voices of the angels, it's up to you to find that means of finding it. But you should never be scared to say that this is the only expression. This is the only expression. There are many, many ways. And I know that in our ministry in the last 30 years, in many ways, it being an Armenian Orthodox church, we've invited young people, we've invited others to express themselves in different ways. In fact, we have a tradition every Easter week, Holy Week, on that Wednesday of Holy Week, we invite people in the community to come and express themselves in different ways, in different manners. And I have to tell you, I have been so incredibly moved at some of these expressions. One that in particular that resonates with me until today, I can't get over it, was when some of the young people in our congregation got together and they constructed a cross and they sang Devormia, one of the hymns of the Armenian church, in very beautiful, beautiful tones. And they invited the congregation to come one by one. And on slips of paper, each congregant would write one of their pains, one of their sufferings, and they would nail it. They passed out nails and hammers, and people were nailing it to the cross, their own sufferings. As a group of young people sang, Devormia, Lord have mercy. It is so moving. And to me, that is also, you know, this is why I always stress to you how important it is that we develop this idea of Armedoxy and not be confined to Armenian Orthodoxy. When you talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, you've got a church which has its rules, it has its regulations, and it has its governance. And definitely you have to go through those means. When we talk about Armedoxy, I'm taking that next step and telling you this is the next step. Basically, you can't discount this component. What is that component? Well, you have a group of young people. You have a generation that is today, that is living today. And they are expressing it within their church, not outside of their church. Okay, they're coming to their church. And within the structure of their church, they're finding voice. They are emitting. They are participating. And that is something that is beautiful. That is something that I think is so important as far as the structure of Armedoxy, what we are trying to develop over here. Yeah, we have a long ways to go, but it is the steps that we are taking. And I hope, I guess history will be the judge of all of this, but I'm committed to it completely. Because it is the all. It is from the beginning, what we've been talking about, okay? God is bigger than our expressions. God is bigger than our understanding. We start off the Divine Liturgy every Sunday morning with a hymn that proclaims this. Horhurt horhin anhas anaskispen. Mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. That's how we express ourselves in relation to God. It is something that is a mystery. It is more than us. That mystery, once you lose that mystery, once you lose that idea of mystery, it no longer is God. right? As I said a few minutes ago, if you could define it, it's not God. Who was it? The great physicist, Albert Einstein. He says it so beautifully. The most beautiful and deepest experience a man can have is the sense of the mysterious. Now imagine, this is somebody who has gone into this is in 1949, by the way, Albert Einstein, 1949. Somebody who has looked out there, who knows what's out there, okay? And listen to what he says. The most beautiful and deepest experience a man can have is the sense of the mysterious. It is the underlying principle of religion as well as all serious endeavors in art and science. He who never had this experience seems to me, if not dead, then at least blind. Who's saying this? Albert Einstein? Physicist? Scientist? Wait. What does he say? If not dead, then at least blind? Wait, Albert Einstein? 1949. This is like 30, 40 years after he's already published his theories on relativity. I mean, his theories that bring together the universe. And what does he say? Let me read it again. He who never had this experience seems to me, if not dead, then at least blind. To sense that behind anything that can be experienced, there is something that our mind cannot grasp, and whose beauty and sublimity reaches us only indirectly and as a feeble reflection. This is religiousness, says Einstein. In this sense, I am religious. To me, it suffices to wonder at these secrets, and to attempt humbly to grasp with my mind a mere image of the lofty structure of all that there is. Do you see how beautifully it all comes together? I mean, do you see what we're talking about at the beginning of this broadcast? We talked about the structure of the universe, of finding mystery out there. We talked about our divine liturgy beginning with mystery, an acknowledgement of that mystery. You're finding scientists who agree that there is something more to our lives. Now, this all comes together, okay? Once you realize that you are not just a bag of bones and flesh put together, but that there is a spirit, there is something inside of you, then you start understanding that that spirit has to have a life, and that life is an expression of the love that you have. It's the love that's in your heart. That's why in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. What was in the beginning? It was love. What has brought this all together? It is that mystery which we call love. Now, you want to put your finger on it? I know some people have tried to do that, and I've shared this with you in the past as well, right? About, I think, the big injustice that has been done to us by trying to label love with agape and filial and eros. No, it is way beyond that. Sure, those are little aspects of love, but love is much bigger than that. Love is in the beginning. And yes, it does have eros in it. It does have agape. It does have filial love. There is something to be said about all these types, but they all come together in the all, in that expression of God. Now, this weekend, as I said, we share with you a gospel passage which comes to us from the Gospel of St. John. This weekend in the Armenian Church, we recognize the forerunner, St. John the Forerunner, Garabed in Armenian. You may know somebody in your family named Garabed. Sometimes they go by Garo, or maybe Garbis, all abbreviations for the word Garabed, which means the forerunner. And this St. John the Forerunner, Surpovanes Garabed, of course, is St. John the Baptist. And he's crying out there in the wilderness. He's preparing the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says, repent. And by repenting, you prepare the way of the Lord. Remember that God spell song. Yeah, you got it? There it is.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. way of the Lord.
Oh, I like that song. That's why I let it play out. It is very beautiful. It's right to the point. And that's what St. John the Baptist was doing. Out there in the wilderness, people were saying, hey, what are you up to? Who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah coming back? And he says, no. He says, I'm not even fit to tie the laces on the Christ. But he says, he who's coming after me, I'm baptizing with water, but he who's coming, he's going to be baptizing you with fire. And what Jesus comes and does is he baptizes us with fire. Listen to this, okay? This is so important. And this is why I'm letting this music run through too. Okay, when you have the love of God inside of you, it is not something you hide. It is not something you are just embarrassed to say. No, it's something that you say loudly. And so loudly, boldly, St. John the Forerunner, St. John the Baptist, was proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord. And the way you prepare it, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Now, this idea of repentance is an interesting one, okay? It literally means to turn around. To turn around from the path that we're on. Which implies that the path that we're on is the wrong path, right? If we're going to be turning around, it means that the direction we're going in is the wrong direction. What does this mean? This is very, very, very important, okay? It means because we are human, because of who we are, we make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're any more evil than the next guy or less evil. It's not a comparative statement. It's a statement or an acknowledgement that we are human. And this is why we shy away from using the word handicapped, because everyone is handicapped. Everybody has a handicap. Okay, one person may have lost a leg, a limb. Somebody may have lost their sight or their ears, their hearing. And yet each of us is handicapped because some of us who do have ears and do have legs and do have limbs all attached know that we have fear in our hearts, know that we have anger, know that we have issues of compassion, of being able to reconcile with our past. Know that we have issues that are a hindrance to us becoming perfect. Now, do you understand? That's the handicap. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. And so, it is imperative for the Christian, in search of that perfection, to understand his handicaps, understand his frailties, understand that we're shy of perfection. And in that understanding, to turn around and look for the path that takes us back to that perfect spot. I want to share with you something that came to me this weekend, and I think I've shared this in the past with a few others, well, definitely with some people very close to me. Do want to share it with you, our listeners. Many times I'll get up there on a Sunday morning to preach a sermon, and I begin every sermon for the last several years. Every sermon I begin with a very short prayer. It is the prayer that we recite at the beginning of the night hour in the Armenian Church, after we recite the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. The priest recites a psalm, Derye te shirtuna simpana speranim yerkese zortmutyunasko. Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. And every week, before my sermon, I recite this small little mantra, this psalm, to myself three times as a way of asking God's guidance, asking God to open my mouth so that I can sing his praise. And I'm sharing this with you. I'm confessing this with you. There are things that come to me at that moment, which I don't know. There is no logical way that I have even thought about it, but it'll come out. it comes out as I'm speaking. And all of a sudden, I'm dumbfounded. And in fact, I've got to share with you that this entire ministry, why we're broadcasting, began because of this. At some point along the way, I was just so overwhelmed. Like, where is this coming from? And I know it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted a way of recording what I was saying. And so basically we began recording the sermons, because otherwise there would be no record of what's going on over here. And I believe that God really inspired this entire ministry, this apostle.net ministry, in this way, by saying that, okay, you asked for it, I'm going to deliver. You said, Lord, open my mouth and I shall sing your praise. Okay, I'm delivering. Here are the words of praise. And so, in a sense, we began recording the sermons, which became the early initial apostle broadcasts. And as a way of continuing this and to give back to God this beautiful ministry that he has shared with us, we offer this apostle to our people, electronic ministry. And so this Sunday, after I had prayed that prayer, Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise, I went to the passage. And the gospel passage for that day was the story of the killing of the innocents. This comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, and it said that, you know, Herod had been tricked by the visitors from the east, and he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighbors, who were 2 years old and younger. Remember, Herod was, he was furious because here's a king being born, and he thought this was a king that was going to threaten his throne. So instead of finding Jesus, he couldn't find Jesus, so he says, let's kill all the kids. And so an angel tells Joseph to get up, take your child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and they go at night. Now, after Herod dies, it says, after the death of Herod, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went back to Israel. Okay, now, instead of talking about the child and about a historic event, let's try to talk about what's going on over here. Because, you see, the angel that told Joseph to get out is the same angel that tells all of us to get out. Flee, because there is something bad going on over here. And we've all heard that voice. Collectively, I know as an Armenian people, we've heard that voice back in 1915. In fact, every Armenian, just about every Armenian that's in the world today, is in the world today because they listened to that voice, because they got out of there before the Turks could do their number, before the genocide, during the genocide, after the genocide, they fled because they were in immediate danger. And this is why you have an Armenian diaspora. 95 years ago, they tried to eliminate every Armenian in a mass-scale genocide. And the angel spoke and said, get out! They're going to kill you! And some people were able to get out. Others died. Tragically, they were massacred. They were killed to the tune of 1.5 million people. But the ones that did get out created what we call the Armenian diaspora. Now I'm talking about the Armenian experience. That's my personal background. But each of us hears a call and are told to go beyond where we're at to find that safety. But that safety area is not your place. For instance, in terms of Joseph and Mary, Egypt was not their home. It was just a place to be safe. For Armenians, home is not the diaspora. There is some place that is safe. Now, of course, if you think about physical realities, you can point to Armenia. You can point to Israel for Joseph. You can point to where you need to be. It could be your home. It could be your work. Wherever that safety place is. I want you to think in terms of spirit now. In terms of a spiritual home. In terms of what is important to you. Returning home means returning to those things that are precious to you. Returning home means returning to those things that are familiar to you, that are native to you. What is native to you and me? The love that's in our heart. But we've forgotten it, haven't we? We've gone so far away from home that we've forgotten what's important to us. We've forgotten what are those values, what are those characteristics that make us who we are. We forgot about something very precious called principles, the principles of life. And the angel says it's time now to go back. Go back to those things that are important to you, to turn back. This is the same message that St. John the Baptist had. He said, repent. It is the same message that the ancient Armenian church has, that the classical Christian church has. Repent. Turn around, because you're not perfect. It's the same message that Einstein was talking about. There's a mystery out there. You're not the mystery. You know yourself. Look deeper. Look within. It's the same message that keeps coming out to us. And it is the message that, well, Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights leader, latched onto. He said, there is something that is important. We may have forgotten that, but it has been left behind. And that is the perfection. It is the perfection of God. Let's look to that. Let's realize that we can overcome our difficulties, not by anger, not by hatred, but by love in our heart. Let's understand that we can overcome the most terrible of oppression. We can overcome prejudice, hatred, and even evil with a power that has been given to us from the beginning of all time, that is embedded in our hearts, it is embedded in our psyche, but we have forgotten it because we've tried to survive, we've tried to get out there, and we have latched on to all of these other things. Now, if you caught the compass this week, we actually talked about this in a different sense. We talked about the clutter. And a very nice analogy that was made by Linda the other day, I really appreciated it. It was like that analogy about how when you're sitting in an airplane, what do? They tell you, they give you the directions for the oxygen, right? The oxygen masks will fall down. They say, first, take care of yourself before you take care of your child. Doesn't that bother you? It bothers me many times because I always think like, how rude of me. How could I do that? But no, you yourself need to be oxygenated before you can oxygenate your child. And the question is not about your child. Of course, your child deserves everything. Your child is first priority. You're second, you're third, you're nothing next to your child. The question is not about your child. It's about what's next to you. You can't get to those things unless you're okay. And what we do is we take care of all these other things instead of taking care of ourselves. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For whose sake is that kingdom? That kingdom is for you. You need to repent. You need to turn back. You need to get on the path to righteousness. And once you're on that path, then you find the energy. You find the oxygen. So you're breathing correctly so that you are perfect. And then you can go out there and make the changes in others. As Christ so eloquently tells us, first remove the log out of your own eye so that you can see the speck in your brother's eye. Well, what does this mean? First, seek that perfection for yourself. Seek first God's kingdom, and all else will come to you. This is the promise that is made by our Lord. This is the promise that Martin Luther King Jr. picked up on. It is something that goes back to the beginning of time. He picked up on it, and he was able to liberate people with that message. I think that there is a liberation waiting to be happening to all of us, because we need to be liberated from ourselves, from our past, from the ghosts that haunt us, from the difficulties that we have, from the relationships that confine us, from the relationships that prevent us from being all that we can be, from the fear that prevents us from walking forward. We need that liberation, and that liberation is found within us and without us. It's within us in the love that God has placed in our hearts. It's without us in the mystery that is all around, that goes back to the beginning of time. Do you see how it all comes together? Do you see how beautiful it is? This is what Armadoxy is all about, and it's been given to you. It combines things from 7 billion light years ago. It combines things from just a couple years ago, from the civil rights movement. It combines the expressions of Saint Joseph and Saint Mary, who were exiled to Egypt, and it brings together the fears that we have today and allows us to squelch them so that we can go on forward to a brighter tomorrow. This is the message of Armadoxy. We're going to take a little break right now as Ani has her bubbles for us today. Here's today's installment of Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Was not Jesus an extremist for love? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness, like a mighty stream. Was Paul not an extremist for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Was not Martin Luther an extremist? Here I stand, I can do none other, so help me God. Was not John Bunyan an extremist? I will stay in jail to the end of my days before I make a butchery of my conscience. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be an extremist, but what kind of extremist will we be? Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? In that dramatic scene on Calvary's Hill, 3 men were crucified. We must not forget that all 3 were crucified for the same crime of extremism. 2 were extremists for immorality, and thusly fell below their environment. The other, Jesus Christ, was an extremist for love, truth, and goodness, and thereby rose above his environment. So, think about it this Martin Luther King weekend. When you're thinking about the speeches, the changes, everything that's happened in our past, what's going on in the future, what kind of extremist are you going to be? This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wings of truth and justice to heaven.
You have done it again. You get me every time. This time, you know, the power of Dr. King's words are not only in the content and what he says, but in the delivery. And you delivered that. You delivered that message to us in the inflections and the tone. Thank you so much. I am so moved. The extremist for love. I mean, think about that. I mean, it's so incredible. Dr. King spoke from his heart. It comes through, and the power of that message, here it is 40, 50 years later, it's just touching us in a very new way, because we realize that all around us, all the difficulties that we have, there is a power that can overcome them. And think about, you know, we were just talking a few minutes ago how everything is really connected. It's connecting the dots between everything. And I went through this whole thing about how from we began the show talking about this beautiful phenomena that's happening out there, 2 quadrillion times the size of the sun, 7 billion light years away. And we went through all of that. But do you remember at the beginning of the program, we started off with this gospel hymn, You Must Be Born Again. And definitely this Sunday, if you walk into any Armenian church, the lectionary reading is the Born Again, John chapter 3. And so in a way, with Ani's reading, it is a born again experience. Anybody who hears this message of love, whether it's from Dr. King, whether it's from the Gospels, is born again, has a new opportunity to start. And that, of course, is it's a gift that is given to us by God. We are at the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it. I want to share a couple ideas with you. This weekend here in America, we do celebrate the life and times of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He happens to be a minister of the gospel. He held for himself the most important values that Jesus Christ taught us: the power of love, the power of forgiveness, the power of moving forward. In one of his sermons, Dr. King remembers and he says, "I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, like your enemies. Instead, he said, love your enemies, because I gotta tell you, it's very difficult to like somebody who's out to kill you or somebody who is ready to bring harm to your family. But Jesus commands us to love our enemies, which is much greater than like, and it is really the God principle." I want you to take that with you today, this weekend, as we contemplate the life and times of Dr. King. Let us remember it is based on a very simple premise that was taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, that Dr. King is Reverend King. He is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as such, he had an obligation to preach the gospel. And we, in turn, are thankful that that gospel reaches us through people such as Dr. King, through many of the saints that we have, such as Saint John the Baptist, such as the people who were martyred, who gave their lives, fleeing an enemy. And now that we have flown, we need to turn back, repent, find the gospel that is all around us. So many opportunities. And one of the simple ways to get involved with these opportunities, well, is to click your mouse, click your buttons, tap on your screen, whatever it takes. Get over to epostle.net. You'll find a bunch of different broadcasts that we have throughout the week. We have sermons. We have, well, The Next Step. And, of course, Compass with Linda Zadoyan. We have an app. You've got to check that out, okay? Once you get on the site, there is a little QR code. Scan it on your smartphone, and you can have Epostle any time that you want, day or night, 24/7. In fact, you can check out our TV show. Yes, we have a show on U.S. Armenia, and it is rebroadcast 24/7 on our YouTube channel. It's all there. It's all there. Just press on it. It's called In Step with Christ. A lot of good things happening, and we give thanks and glory to God who makes all of this a possibility with your prayers and with your support. Thank you very much for joining us. We invite you to get back with us next week for the wonderful crew who put this together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, Ani with her bubbles. This is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.